go to heaven.
Right.
You know, I've never heard anyone admit that they were perfect. And because of the time constraint here, Kathy, I'm going to have to stick with this. So, she's always been my friendly critic. She could always tell when I was not preaching from an outline. She said I always did better that way. But I've got a lot of words to say, so I'm going to stick with this outline. I've never heard anyone admit that they were perfect. There are those who believe that though they are capable of perfection, they may choose to return to sin. Nevertheless, they are able not to sin. But make no mistake about it, that what the Bible teaches about sin and sinners. There is none righteous. No, not one.
That's right.
All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. As by one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so that death has passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. There are four classes of good people. And I want to examine these. Those who are able not to sin, those who are not perfect but still good people, those who are not as bad as some others, and those who justify themselves or others for their good works. So the first, the class of people who are able not to sin. Some of the holiness sects of the Christian religion believe that they start out as sinners, but by their diligent study, spiritual growth, good works, and separation, they may reach a plateau of sinlessness. Though they are capable of falling back into sin, yet they are able not to sin if they continue their striving unto holiness. Jesus makes it possible, but it must be by their own effort which brings them to this sinless plateau. The second class are those who admit that they are not perfect, but still a good person, or they have a good heart. You've heard that, I'm sure, about someone. Well, they're a good person, and they may be someone who robbed a bank, but they have a good heart. Well, I promise myself I wouldn't deviate from this. Not try to elaborate on this, because stick with it. So I'm going to try to stick with it. They don't have to believe in God or be religious, but because of their intelligence, their talent or skill or fame or their race or their beauty or their wealth or their poverty, they are good. These people also may view others of the same class whom they admit or admire or love to be, they may recognize them as good people as well. Men and women who are brave in war or in law enforcement or the first responders, people of this nature, we call them good people. A person who is a victim of a horrible crime, such as murder or rape or robbery or terrorist attack, are considered good people. Loved ones or friends who may suddenly be killed in some way are usually sent to heaven at their funeral. You very seldom hear of the principal of a funeral being called a bad person. Third class is this, who is not perfect but not as bad as some others. They justify themselves by comparing themselves to others who have done or are doing things which are worse than the things which they are doing or have done. I may lie, but I'm not as big a liar as the Washington politician. I may have stole something, but I'm not a bank robber. I don't go to church, but I'm not a heathen. I may look at women, but I never touch. These all justify themselves because their sins are not as bad or as serious as some others who they know. But you know, this is the interesting thing that I've thought about, that they never think to compare themselves to others who are better than they are.
That's right.
You always compare to those who are worse, mm-hmm. never to those who are better. 1 Corinthians 10:12. For we dare not make ourselves of the number or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves, but they measure themselves by themselves and compare themselves among themselves. These are not wise. The fourth class, who justify themselves or others for their good works. These believe that though they are not perfect, their good works outweigh their bad. They do not claim to be within sin, without sin, or do they deny being a sinner of certain sins. They gamble or drink or commit fornication or even smoke a little pot, but they also do many good things. They attend church. They are honest in their business. They are faithful to their spouse. They are good parents. They give to some charity, or they only lie when absolutely necessary. Whatever the case, they believe that in the end, God will judge them based on the good they have done and pardon them for the bad. But the Bible clearly teaches that only perfect people go to heaven. God is a holy God. Heaven is a holy place. And those who enter must be the same. If imperfection is mixed with perfection, then that which was perfect becomes imperfect. Perfection never makes corruption perfect. Corruption will always contaminate that which is pure. The fact that we are born through pain, live our lives with pain, see our bodies grow weak and wrinkled and distorted by disease, proves that corruption exists in the human body. No one has lived life pain-free or escaped the cold fingers of death, which squeeze out health and life. There has been only one perfect being who has ever lived on this earth, and that is God the Son.
That's right.
Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Yeah.
Therefore, we read in the book of 1 Corinthians 15:50. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Verse 56, the sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. So that which delivers the death sting is sin, and the power or the authority of that death sting is God's law of perfection. There are two very true sayings which neither saved nor unsaved, atheist or heathen, will deny, and that is, no one's perfect and no one lives forever. Now, I'd like to show biblical proof that no one is perfect. then I'll attempt to prove that only perfect people go to heaven. That seems like a paradox, doesn't it? And third, show how a person may become perfect before God. That's the glory of it. Now here's why no one's perfect. Paul says that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. And this statement within itself implies that no one is perfect. For all are made of flesh and blood. It is made plain throughout the scriptures that sin dominates the heart of man. Not only does sin dominate the heart and mind of mankind, but man, as he comes forth from his mother's womb, is completely and totally sinful by nature. Psalms 58:3, the wicked are estranged from the womb. They go astray as soon as they are born, speaking lies. Psalms 14, and I may take the time to read this one. Psalm 14:1 through 3, the fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt, they have done abominable works. There is none that doeth good. The Lord looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand and seek God. What did he find? They are all gone aside. They are all together become filthy. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Not one. Job 14:4. Who can bring a clean thing out of an unclean thing? Not one. So, we find in Job 15:16, how much more abominable and filthy. These are harsh words. You know, this is not compatible to the thoughts of man. This is the kind of thing. This kind of thing makes the snowflakes want to run for a safe place. He says, "How much more abominable and filthy is man, which drinketh iniquity like water." Jeremiah 17:9. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Jesus said in Mark 7:21-22, "For from within, out of the heart of man, proceedeth evil thoughts, adultery, fornication, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness." That's what Jesus thinks of the human soul. It's the only perfect people can go to heaven. Not only is no one perfect, but the Bible tells us that there is none good. And he emphasizes that by saying, "No, not one." Where is it written? Psalms 14:3, as we mentioned, they are all gone aside. They are all together become filthy. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. So, now that we have established that no one is perfect, so let's now proceed to establish the fact that only perfect people go to heaven. The Lord Jesus was clear when he preached the great Sermon on the Mount. And he said this, that only perfect people go to heaven. The Beatitudes tell us that only perfect people go to heaven. Matthew 5:3, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Verse 6, he says, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Verse 8, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Now, according to the Greek-English lexicon, the word pure is katharos, which means free from corrupt desire, from sin, free from guilt, blameless, innocent. The first seven Beatitudes are not to be taken as in a temporal sense. The first seven Beatitudes, many preachers, I hope there's not any Baptists that do this, but many people try to make this, apply this to a temporal life. Those who seek after so-called social justice. But notice it is the humble or the pure in spirit and the pure in heart that are being talked about here. It is not simply those who are hunger and thirst, but those who hunger and thirst after righteousness.
Yes. Amen.
It is not just the poor of the world, but the poor in spirit. It is the pure in heart that shall see God. No sinner, if given a choice, would ever choose to go to heaven. Did you know that? Have you ever thought about that thing? Given a choice, and I'm going to tell you why. Now, you could go and ask the average person on the street, do you want to go to heaven? Oh, yes. I'd love to go to heaven. Well, that's because they don't have a clue what heaven is.
Right. Right.
Now, it would be the most miserable place they were ever in, besides hell.
Right.
Heaven is a place of holiness.
Amen.
And a place of perfection.
Yes.
It is the place, if I can get my pages separated, it is the place where the Holy God dwells in all His radiance and all of His beauty. Heaven is a perfect place, and no sinner would be glad to be in such a place. If the sinners so desired to be in heaven or the heavenly atmosphere, then the Lord's churches would be full of them, because the Lord's churches are the nearest place to heaven on earth.
Yes.
So I don't believe sinners would be comfortable in heaven any more than they're comfortable in the Lord's church. So the sinner would be no more comfortable in heaven than in hell. However, it is not until the sinner gets to hell that he changes his attitude about heaven. We find, you know, the reference of the rich man in the account of Lazarus and the rich man. When he got there, he desired heaven then. But the Lord said there's a great gulf fixed, and he can't pass. Well, thirdly, I would like to say this. I've got 10 minutes to say this, so Lord willing, we'll try to get this across in that amount of time. So I ask the question, how may a person become perfect before God? That's the question. No one is perfect. We've established that. And we've established that no, only perfect people go to heaven. So how may a person become perfect before God? Mm-hmm. There's people in heaven right today. And I expect to go myself.
Amen.
And so there is a way. We have sufficiently proven that. That concerning the man's sinful nature and sinful condition and his, that he is certainly not perfect and far from perfect and so on. And so, he is completely, totally unfit for the kingdom of God. Flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Therefore, he must be transformed into something that he is not, which is an impossible task for him to do.
Mm-hmm.
This transformation is called the new birth.
Amen.
Jesus said in John 3:6, 3-6, Jesus answered and said to him, that is Nicodemus, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Nicodemus saith unto him, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born?" He wasn't thinking very spiritually, was he? But Jesus said, answered, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh, but that which is born of spirit is spirit." There is a process by which God brings the sinner to himself. And that's what must happen.
Amen.
The sinner must be brought to himself. The sinner must be brought to the place where he sees himself as God sees him.
That's right.
So there's a place, there's a process. God brings the sinner to himself that he, God, may bring him, man, to himself, God. You see, God has to bring man to himself. Man can't bring himself to God. God must do that.
Amen.
You must come to know that you are an imperfect sinner against a holy and righteous and perfect God. If you never come to see yourself as God sees you, if you never see yourself as a sinner, you can never become perfect. The new birth is also called regeneration or a new creation. That's why people get to go to heaven, because they become perfect through creation. 1 Corinthians 5:17, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." And so the very apex of salvation is the death and the burial and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. He came not to save or heal the healthy. He came not to save the righteous. Self-righteous people can't go to heaven.
Right.
Self-righteous people will never be saved. The only way to be saved is become a sinner. And when you see yourself as a sinner, then is when the work of God will manifest itself on you. He came to save sinners.
Amen.
And only sinners. Self-righteous people can never go to heaven. Therefore, every person who has come to know Christ as Savior is a perfect person, because they have been justified from all their sins. They have been made pure through the pure blood of Christ. Romans 5:1, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God. And that peace there is the opposite of war. Because the sinner is enmity, by nature enmity, or enemies of God. And you can argue with that all you want to. You can say, oh no, I'm not an enemy of God. Yes, you are.
That's right.
If you're without Christ, you are.
That's right.
You may not feel it. You may not understand it, but you are. But being justified by faith, we have peace with God. How? Through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, every person who has come to know Jesus Christ as Savior is a perfect person because they have been justified. Romans 8:1-2, there is therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made us free from the law of sin and death. What a glorious message that is to the sinner. That's good news. Sinner, that's good news. You can become perfect and go to heaven. Is there anyone here today who sees themselves as not unfit for the kingdom of God? For if you expect to go into heaven, you must first be a sinner. Would you like to become a perfect person? You say, well, preacher, I bet you're not perfect, not in this flesh. Absolutely not. Not in the flesh. But the flesh is not saved anyway. Jesus saved my soul. And when He did that, He made me perfect. And now, because of that perfect work that He did on the cross, now I stand before the Almighty Judge, the Creator of the law, that unbendable, that rigid law that gives no consolation whatsoever in itself. I stand before that God and that law, justified and perfect as if I had never sinned because of the righteousness of Christ. And you too, by coming to the blessed Savior, repent of your sins, trusting His payment for your sins. Christ came into the world to save sinners. So if you see yourself as an unworthy sinner who needs a Savior, and He came to save you. If any person who sees themselves as a sinner and desires to be saved, I can guarantee you, based on this book, God will save you.
Amen.
He promised He would. And He will. Never broke a promise in all of His in all of His eternity. May God bless you.
Amen.
I have 5 seconds left over. I'll make up for it next time.
Okay.